And welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. This week, we're going to have a chat about Nuno's departure from the club and just in general about everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks. Starting off with Mick McQuillan, who was lucky enough to get a ticket and was over at the United last game of the season. That's where we'll start today's podcast. Hope you enjoy it.
Mick, would you just say a bit about Sunday?
Is it printable?
The good bits.
You know, but I think, Mick, to be fairness, the most topical thing at the minute is how you know getting to the game. Like, you know, that was great. Like, you know, your feelings of how it went, and especially at the end of the game. You know, you could see on telly, but we didn't see it all, to be honest. But I would imagine it was emotional, was it?
It was, but everybody who was there was fucking frozen. That was number one. It was bitter fucking cold. And not with so many in the stadium, you know what I mean? It was absolutely Baltic. And then where we were, the rain was coming in on us. The whole thing was sort of unreal. All I can say is a lot of people have been stunned by the decision. There wasn't anybody there could actually, probably with the exception of one or two people, who thought it was a good idea, but everybody else were stuck for words and very disappointed and I suppose worried. I suppose the biggest worry for everybody now is where, what direction we're going to take, you know, who was going to come in. But I think a lot of people were at the same thing. We should have given them another year or at least 6 months to see how it worked out next year. And it wasn't fair to judge it on what's happened because of the pandemic. So that was the general talk around. But, you know, we met Nuno, seen Nuno and that, but he certainly didn't seem to be in a man that was in the humour for talking and that. It came like a bolt out of the blue to him, you know. And he's still a bit stunned, I suppose. And
yeah, Mick, I think we all were. Anyway, how was your trip over? Any problems in the airport, anything like that?
I got to Dublin Airport, and I must say there was a copper there where we normally would put our boarding card in. He just said, "Where are you heading for?" And I said, "I'm heading to Birmingham." So he said, "Go on, no problems." So I got onto the flight and all that, and it was fairly well done. But Birmingham is a ghost town. Nothing over in Birmingham. Got up to the hotel, and I bumped into the Noel McKillen. The Novotel. And I bumped in there, and fair play to them. They let me, check in there and then. So after having a bit tea with the boys, I went up and had an hour's kip, you know. So because I was on the road early.
You managed to get into McGee's, Mick?
I did. We were at the chairman's table. Now, he certainly he's done a bit in the place, and I must say that his fucking Guinness is the best of years since I tasted Guinness like it, you know. But he has bar staff and a floor staff because they have to have tables. People have to be seated and all that. And it was nicely done. Hot running water in the bloody toilets, Gary. And what do you call it? Electric hand dryer. You know what I mean? And a fucking card machine. You know?
Up in the world, huh?
He went down to Liverpool, Jordan, when they opened up. Remember when everybody else was closed down? Yeah. Have a look, see what they were doing. And he got a few ideas down there. That's what he said, you know.
No, I was going to say that the water is about the only thing I haven't seen running in the gaze.
But it was good now. Good bit of crank.
Yeah.
You flew back to via Belfast, was it?
Yeah, I what I done was, I parked my car because the quick park is closed up in Santry. So I drove into the Keely's Roadhouse car park and I parked there. Went out the back gate, you know, fairly well. It's only about a 7 or 8 minute walk up to the airport, and I went out that way. So I flew back into Belfast and I got the fucking bus up to the airport. And like I had free travel on that one. No, it was good. I spent about an hour or two in Belfast, so I was able to do a lot of old business on the phone and that. It was an eye-opener, but you can fly back in through Belfast. There's no hassle whatsoever, you know?
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. So, Mick, getting back to Nuno, what do you think about it all now?
He's out there over the last 4 years. He's actually really planting a lot of seeds there. And he got a lot of players signed in there. on his ward and that, and now he's gone, and where do we go from here? I'm not overly confident looking at, you know, the people they're trying to get in there, they're talking about. All it says to me is this, that the four of them are without having anything ready to come in. And I suppose the other thing which is worrying from my point of view is that the whole backroom staff are gone. Now, I can understand why they've done that because of what happened with Walter Zenga when there was a problem with the previous man's staff. But the thing is, they're all gone. So the players are gone on the midsummer break. And in previous years, they all had their keep fit regime in place. But there's none of that for next season. So they're going to have to do whatever they can, but there's nothing there. When the new manager comes in, they're talking about 3 weeks' time. He doesn't have a lot of time to try and whip them into shape. He doesn't have time to look and get players in. Because let's be honest about it. And any players out there, an awful lot of managers already have touched them, you know, have them set up for coming into different clubs. But we don't seem to have any that, because we don't have a manager yet. And looking, you know, they're going to interview a number of people. And I just worry. And I think a lot of that was the big worry with a lot of people over there on Sunday, you know, after being so well organised for quite a number of years. And we seem to be doing this very piecemeal, you know.
Yeah, but I just wonder, Mick, you know, is it conceivable that Fosun are going to do the same thing they did 4 years ago, that, you know, putting their hopes on one guy who ended up going to Spain and then scrambling around for a full season, trying to get stop gaps, to get people in to fill gaps until they got someone that they felt was going to be the manager. That's how Nuno came along. Like, people, I think, tend to forget. They think that Nuno appeared out of the sky in 2017 and came in as manager. We went through a whole season of chaos with managers before Nuno.
Well, I think the only thing I could say for the defence back then was that when they came in, a number of crucial people had gone fairly quickly when Fosun came in. And he did say, Jeff Shee did say at the time, that they didn't know much about football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they spent the year learning, you know, the ups and downs, the ropes. But, you know, after the first year, they certainly, they approached Nuno in the end of March or April. He resigned from Porto, didn't he, with a month or two to go.
Yeah.
And at that time, Nuno there was players coming in, they already had a list of players that were needed to come in. And all that was done by now. But they seem to have fired a manager, and they don't seem to have done any preparatory work in it, you know. And it looks to me like what happened was Nuno wanted certain things, and they weren't prepared to give it. And Nuno said he'd walk if you know, they didn't come up to the table with it, to the plate with it. And I think that's what happened. And they told him last Monday or Tuesday that they weren't budging.
Yeah.
And that's the way I think it happened, you know.
Yeah, Mick. Yeah. Andy, what are your thoughts on it all?
I'm disappointed. I honestly believe with a proper full summer's break and then a good pre-season where he is able to imprint on the players, you know, during the pre-season training and during friendly matches, it gives him an opportunity to put his stamp on what he really wants them to do and get them drilled, basically, into the style of play he wants them to play, the formation he wants them to play, so that hopefully it would be successful, because obviously his change in tactics and formation didn't really work. He went back to the old five at the back for periods just to get us back to winning ways and to make sure that we, you know, remained around mid-table at least, so we weren't under threat of relegation. And then, of course, then he went back to the four at the back and things kind of backpedaled. And, you know, every now and again he would play the five at the back just to kind of shore things up and keep us safe. Yeah, look, things weren't working for him for whatever reason. And I did think that some of his decisions were a bit strange. There were times when I would have hoped he would have used certain players. I wanted to see more of certain players from the youth. I wanted to see Theo Corbenau used much more in the first team. And I found it frustrating that he was having a great season in the under-23s and wasn't being given a chance in the first team. And yet Fabio Silva was. And again, that makes me think there's a bit of Having paid 35 million for Fabio Silva, he was getting the nod ahead of the likes of Theo Corbenau, who was banging in goals for the under-23s. And there's a part of me thinking, well, it's almost like they've got to justify paying 35 million for him by putting him in the first team. You know, you can't have him languishing in the under-21s or under-23s or even in the under-18s when you've just paid 35 million for him and then you have a homegrown player getting the first team, you know. So, I mean, if I was Theo Corbenau or if I was any of the other young players at Wolves that are in the academy or, you know, in the underage setup, I'd be pretty pissed off at seeing some Portuguese 18-year-old turn up for 35 million and getting into the first team squad. So, yeah, there's something a bit strange about that whole situation. But anyway, back to Nuno and, a bit... I am disappointed. I think if he'd have been given a chance, he'd have been given the players he wanted this summer. If he could have spent as he wanted this summer and been given the opportunity to put his stamp on the team through pre-season training, I think we'd see a different Wolves next season. But alas, it wasn't to be. A bit of a strange one by the club, officially announcing it was a mutual agreement. And then, as it turns out, they basically gave him the push. And then, of course, from various information we've seen from Tim Spears, amongst others, Nuno could have potentially been sacked back in January when we first lost to West Brom, which I think would have been harsh and a knee-jerk reaction. We all remember, obviously, what happened to Mick McCarthy. So, in some ways, the club stayed with him to the end, but... yeah, a bit disappointed. And now the thing, of course, is we have no idea who we're going to get for next season. Bruno Lage, I had no idea about him. You know, I've had to do my research like everybody else. He doesn't seem to have a great deal of experience. And then the spanner in the works is Brexit. And it seems like we probably aren't going to be allowed to take him as a first team manager anyway, because he doesn't have enough experience to be given a permit by the FA. And I guess by the Department of Work and Pensions or whoever it is that gives out the work visas or the Home Office, whoever it is. So Brexit's thrown a spanner in the works there. We apparently can't get our man, if that's true. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who we get. You know, we could end up with Frank Lampard. I'd be fairly happy, to be honest with you. Again, I know he doesn't have huge experience, but I think he did do a good job with the young lads at Chelsea. And I think given a job at Wolves, he would bring through some of those lads I was talking about. I mean, as I say, Theo Corbenau stands out for me. But there are other young fellas. The lad whose name has gone out of my head, he's been on loan up in Sunderland in defence. We're crying out for a really good central defender, and he, by all accounts, has been playing a blinder for Sunderland, albeit in League One. You know, Sunderland would love to buy him, and I'd be gutted if Wolves let him go, because I think he's exactly the type of player that somebody like Frank Lampard could really train up and bring into the first team as a solid defender, the kind of player we've been calling out for, to play in a back four.
Yeah, Andy, certainly interesting times ahead anyway. What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, look, I was fully invested in and fully supportive of Nuno staying for another season. You know, I thought he deserved that. I thought the right from the start of last season, well, I always felt coming in that the break was too short, the last season had been too long, that we were going to struggle just purely from fatigue. Because the way we finished the end of last season, people were just so, you know, they were just dying on their feet. Yeah. And then we got such a short break and we launched into the new season. I had my suspicion straight away. I was supportive of getting rid of Doherty and Jota because I think you need change in big, successful clubs. So that I was on board with that. But I he had bad luck. I mean, I love the guy to bits, and I'm, you know, really gutted and disappointed at what's happened. You know, I think he's a special person as a human being, and I think he should have got a bit more time. Now, having said that, right, I had a few things did happen this season that you would never associate with, you know, the last 3 years. The 4-0s, you know, how many, four times 4-0? Yeah. It was just, I know... the season before we did a 5-2 against Chelsea or something like that, but it was the manner of some of them defeats was kind of unsettling, and there were times when for the last 3 years we knew you could nearly pick the one team picked itself if it didn't we could, because we knew what it was going to be and we knew what we wanted it to be. And you know what everybody's job was.
Yeah.
But this season, it just didn't seem to be like that. You know, the organisation didn't seem to be there at times. And I know there was he wanted to do the four at the back and all that, but, you know, it was worrying at times, I thought. But I still would have gone with another season, you know, to be honest. And I think he deserved it.
Yeah. Tadhg, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, very similar, I suppose, to Gary. Look, I was absolutely shocked when the news came through on my phone. My wife was sitting in the room with me, and when she heard me saying, oh, no, she thought it was a relation or something that just happened.
It felt like that.
I was absolutely gutted, absolutely gutted. Now, again, I suppose I could take that. It was understandable we were going to have a slow start to the season. We had lost some of our established players. We had a very long season. We had about 3 weeks of a break or something less than that. Yeah. And of course we weren't going to be up to speed straight away. So again, I was accepting the fact that we weren't firing on all cylinders, but saying that, right, look, second part of the season will come good. We'll be up there again, definitely top 10, top 8, that sort of territory. Yeah. Now, all that was obviously derailed by Jimenez's injury in December. And, you know, the fact that he's been out since then, plus the fact that Doherty and Jota had gone, and we really hadn't replaced them to any great extent. We were bound to have problems. But again, they weren't of his creation. I don't know the story behind Jota and Doherty. And Gary was saying, OK, you need a turnover within a team, and I would accept that. But they wouldn't have been the two I'd have been turning over. I could suggest one or two others. That should have gone if they just wanted to freshen up the team or whatever.
Yeah.
So, look, but at the end of the day, the decision was taken on the basis that, look, we needed to freshen up the management as well as freshen up the team, I think was a diabolical decision. I think he had created something special within Wolverhampton, within the nucleus of that particular team, within the fans, something that we had never seen to that extent over many, many years. And just the foundation stone for something new. Again, if it had been proved, there would have to be further people go, there'd have to be new blood coming in. But that was a good foundation to build on, certainly for another couple of years before you reach any judgment on it. And I think the whole thing was premature. And again, I share your big concerns now, having happened that way. You know, are we going to be, you know, where are we going to look to, or who are we going to look to start it all over again, you know?
Yeah, because between the injuries and the new players that came in, I mean, what do you think? I mean, injuries you couldn't do anything about, you know. And normally, I think Dendonker is an example going back a few years ago when he came in. I mean, he was signed. He was 3 months before Nuno felt he was ready to bring into the team, and that was the way he seemed to develop the players. Was you come in, you get used to the system, and whether it takes you a month, 3 months or 4 months, that's how long it's going to take. And we had a small squad, so every player was valuable. Yet this season, it just seemed to be scattergun, whether it's because of injuries and new players coming in. They just didn't seem to have the time to gel in. They were just thrown in at the deep end. So that anybody else thinking along those lines?
Well, must remember, in November, we were 4 points off the top of the table. But Jimenez got injured. Now, we had been hammered with injuries up to that stage. And the players who was injured, like Bolly, what you call it, it was all size. And not only was the injury, there was the COVID number that got. And they were off. We forget, they were only with us a week or two, and they were off on international duty for 3 or 4 games. And then they come back. So there was nothing, you could organize nothing. And it was that type of a season. And, you know, the girl, the manager in the hotel, she was saying at the weekend that when the lads, she felt sorry for the lads this year, because when they were staying in the hotel, they normally had things set up in the rooms, whether it be table tennis, whether it be other sort of stuff for them. But from COVID, they had to stay in the room on their own. You know, she said it was absolutely horrendous season for a lot of them, you know what I mean? And that, and you know, that needs to be taken into consideration. Then we conceded a lot of goals in a number of games, and there's a good reason for that. And everybody talks about the corners, but we have a small side. I keep saying this, but we have 5 or 6 fellas who are very, very important to us. But how many games were these fellas missing? You know what I mean? And that was a reason why it happened. Now, not only that, when the second goal goes in and things are not going right for you, not just on the pitch, but the season we're having, it's very easy to throw in a towel in certain games. So that's why, I would say that would go some way to explain some of the 4-0 defeats in games. Jimenez was a major loss. People go on about the players we signed. I thought we've signed some fantastic players this season, but they were signed not for this season. They were signed for maybe next season, bringing them in bit by bit. And we, unfortunately, we had to throw them in there. And the positive that I see now with that was, at least the lads were getting games. So it wasn't a wasted season as such. Yeah. And we never looked, in any stage, in my opinion, to go down. And I just thought with everything that happened this year, with Nuno after finding out that it was a lot of players who we could trust to do couldn't, then next year, to me, could have been a fantastic season. That's the way I look at it. But I have a big feeling here. This is all about money, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's my big worry. And when you look at your man Large or Small or whatever he's called, they're talking about him. You know, they're talking about a contract of £1 million. A fucking £1 million. I think Salford managers are more than that.
Oh, yeah, but the Nevilles are loaded, though. They've loads of money, you know.
No, but let's be honest. If that's what they've done, you know what I mean? And that's what they're going about. Like, my big worry ahead, again, will go what's happening over in France. Because, you know, they have problems now with financial fair play. They have problems with, what they call it, if they do pick either of these managers, that they may not be able to get work permits for them. Their whole setup, Bowes' whole setup, is about signing players and moving them on left, right and centre. Hmm. In the UK, that's all stopped now. So what's happened with Zurich, what's happened with who was it?
Bordeaux, was it in France?
Bordeaux. Hmm. They don't have any of them problems. They can move players around as they like.
But surely, Mick, I mean, Fosun being the big organisation they are, have thought through all this, you know? I can't imagine that's gone back to Steve Morgan territory. Running into the dressing room when we lose to Liverpool, running in and having a go at Mick in front of the players, and then all going downhill after that. Like Fosun, I'd imagine, would have everything. If they decided a few weeks ago that Nuno was gone, that they'd have the wheels would be in motion. I mean, they've been very good so far with things happening. Nobody knew about it. You know, like even when Nuno was coming in, no one seemed to know.
Any signing, no one knows nothing. I mean, they've been good in that respect about keeping the cards close to the chest. But, I don't know whether it's money related, but it sounds like potentially it could. But, you know, I think we're in the realms of I don't know whether Mick knows something more than...
I'm saying, Gary, if business people, these are business people, okay? They came in 4 years ago and they had their ideas here. Now, the problem for them at the moment, Fosun operate, they have a lot of players and they're moving around from club to club. They make money. And take, for instance, your man, what do you call him? Remember the centre-half we had at the beginning? And what was his name?
Miranda.
Miranda. Okay. Now, they signed Miranda for something like £1.5 million. He got a freebie last year, okay? But he brought in over £10 million for Fosun on loans. You know, this is what they do. They're making money. Because I seen a great program about a year and a half ago. Your man, Yo, whatever his name, for second name. But it was on China TV. It's the American version. And he was being interviewed on that. And he was on about, it gave me a great insight into that thinking. It wasn't only about signing a bigger player. It was about signing other players, moving them on. You get money when players are loaned out. He went through the whole system. Now, the thing that was different for you, Tony, was they would have it sorted out. Nobody knew until Christmas what Brexit was going to do, what sort of Brexit was going to fall. And what's happening now is it's having a huge... We followed all those young fellas last year. The thing was, there was always going to be a problem if they got the Brexit after. We wouldn't have been able to sign them this year because they'd have to have so many international caps or all that. And that's really, to me, has shown a spanner in Fosun's work with Wolves. Now, you go back to Bordeaux. they were looking at Bordeaux before they bought Wolves.
Yeah.
Now, Bordeaux have come in, the hat's been thrown in there, so they can get them for little or nothing. And they don't have any problems moving players around with Bordeaux. They have a huge French connection, even at Wolves. And they're the little signs I'm looking. I'm looking at that and I'm worried about that because I can see them. And the other thing is, they could get Bordeaux into Champions League football an awful lot cheaper and a lot quicker than they can get Wolves in there.
Yeah.
And with less hassle. Now, if they come along and they pick a manager and they can't get him through, well, that to me could spell a lot of curtains for us, you know. I'm just worried that that's something that I'm looking at it, you know.
But surely, Mick, they're looking at it themselves in that way. There's no point going through a process of interviewing people that they know at the end of it, if they give it to one or two of them, that they're not going to get a permit. Like, this should be all sorted before you go in. There's no point interviewing somebody. He does a great interview and you say, well, we can't actually employ it because we can't get a permit.
Gary, or Tony, the FA at the moment, this has been discussed elsewhere as well. The FA now are trying to change the rules again. They're just reading there this evening. It is a problem that has developed. And it certainly, the way Fosun was operating from Wolves, it certainly curtailing what they want to do. Look, I'm hoping wrong. It doesn't happen.
First time for everything, Mick.
Listen, Tony, I don't be far away. I haven't been far away in the past. You know what I mean? So that's why just thinking on it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't understand why they could just fucking sack a man like that, let the man go like that, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Again, as you say, it's something that's obviously gone on behind the scenes that's been kept very, very quiet. And it's just like it seems like it happened. First thing, 2 o'clock on Friday, we got a message to say Nuno's gone. You know, just what some people are saying is that the Burnley game was a trigger and that it had been going on for a couple of weeks and they were going to announce it last Monday and they said no, they'd hold off. So I don't know, Gary Tighe, what are your feelings on it?
I'm just wondering, are there any other, have we heard of any other managers in the frame besides Bruno Ladd? I mean, he seems to be the one that's been up there. Now, I know the bookies have had all sorts of odds and everybody's name sort of thing, but that's been the one that seems to be coming out of the Midlands all the way through. I haven't heard any other name other than Bruno.
But we don't know. Yeah, go on, Gary, go on.
Yeah, I mean, you see today that Conte is separated from Inter Milan, but mutual agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, every name that pops up at the minute, I presume, you know, someone's just going to throw that into the ring.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I mean, I tend to not to get too sucked into them to the new appointment thing because one, you know, if you're looking forward to someone and it's not him, you're on the downer straight away, yeah. And. There's just so many options there. And I think in all the most recent ones, we've never got it right anyway. It's always been a surprise. I mean, look, Zenga, Solbakken, you know, they were all nowhere on the radar in some of those, you know, Nuno himself even, like, even Lambert. But, you know, so, I don't know, I don't dwell too long on the new manager scenario because it's a waste of fucking brain space, like, I think.
Well, I agree with you, Gary. The only thing I'll say, you hear about how fellas are throwing names. But when you see that the sort of figures they're talking about, if £1 million, that'll hardly get you fucking, what do you call it, Walter fucking Mitty.
But again, Mick, they're numbers that, as you say, are being thrown out. If Nuno was on, as you speculate, on £3 million, I can't imagine somebody wanting to come in and take the job for one third of what the previous man was getting, you know?
Did you not see it? Were you not looking at this evening there, Tony?
I try not to make...
If your man Large was to take the Wolves job, the way it is, he was on £1 million or £2 million, whatever, with Benfica. And when he was let go there, they pay something like £1 million. They pay a certain of his money. If he starts walking, they pay half of that. He was only on that side of peanuts with Benfica. Jesus. But as you say, and again, we go back to maybe the fact that he is Portuguese. That's why people reckon he's a model to come in. I don't know for sure. But certain people there who know a little bit about, and they seem to think that that's the way they're going, you know?
Yeah. So it's a case of when do we know? I mean, we've been in shock, as you say. Nobody had any inkling that it was, like, you could see probably watching matches that Nuno didn't seem to be himself and the players didn't seem to be up, but we were all putting that down to the last year, or 15 months with COVID and, you know, no crowds and at the matches and all that. But anyone looking at it would have kind of written off the season and said, we finished in 13th place, brilliant, you know, now next year let's take off again, you know. It just seems, as I mentioned Steve Morgan era earlier on, I hope it's not a repeat of that where we're going to be scampering around trying another two or three managers, because I was saying to someone there yesterday, Wolves don't do things half measures. It's going to be either sail up the Premier League or relegation. So one extreme or the other with us. We never kind of bring in a new man and we're going to hover around, you know, hover in the middle of the table. I just, you know, I just feel that it'll go one way or the other.
But anyway, it's not a very hopeful start anyway for next season. But anyway, well, Gary, thanks for that for the weekend. Anyway, it was much.
but to be honest, that was an absolute bonus that you managed to get it. I suppose we didn't think you did allow it, you know, that we thought they'd make us put it back into the pot.
That's what he did, Gary. Yeah, I had to put it back in and then go straight on and get it back out again. So,
and you know, the best thing was, Gary, I didn't even have to pay for the fucking thing.
Yeah, he actually had, when I went on and it came up, you know, he had the exact amount in cash from all that gear he's bought, you know. So he was... But like, oh no, it was because even Steo and the lads, Tom was watching. There were a couple of tickets popped up at one stage, but by the time they got in, they were gone. So Mick, I'll give you the last word on Nuno and what you feel about it all.
A lot of people were sorry for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they understood what he went through. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was. You know. But he just looked. I mean, as the season went on, he just seemed to be draining, didn't he? He seemed to have lost weight. Even looking at him on Sunday on the pitch, he just seemed to have lost weight and everything. Like, he's just, you know.
But every one of them is the same. They're actually bunched. Knackered, you know what I mean? It, mentally and physically, for what happened there, you know.
Yeah.
But all we can say is that, you know, we'll always remember his contribution to us and the Wolves anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, Mick, Tig, Gary, thanks a million for that. That's been a great chat for the last half hour. Really enjoyed it. And hopefully the new season will bring us some good news and some good results again. See you soon, guys. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.